I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out on a Tuesday, day after a holiday. It's always tough to get back into it after a holiday, Scott. Because then you got to get back into it with the kids. And
But some people are like, man, I can't wait to go back to work after the holiday.
That's kind of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy our job. So this is one of those times.
Yes.
Plus, we're chomping at the bit to talk about all the things that intrigued us from over the weekend. We've gotten to a lot of them so far, but I wanted to talk to you. We're already seeing the lists come out of best Super Bowls in the history of Super Bowls.
Because we have 2 weeks.
We have a couple of weeks.
We got to talk about everything.
Right, and so there are things on the list of that you can tick off of the box of, okay, we were able to talk about the Super Bowl, but nothing actually important. And I went through this list that USA Today did, and I'll just give you the top. I'll just give you the worst and the best according to their list. So the worst one was Super Bowl 53, or not 53, Super Bowl. Well, you know which one it is. It's the Super Bowl that that the Seahawks
killed,
dominated the Broncos.
Peyton Manning.
And part of it was because that game in particular benefited from, or did not benefit from, rather, it was. Yeah, it was Super Bowl, what is that? Oh, yeah. No, it's 53. Yeah. Or no, I don't know. 48? I'm not sure which one it was. But either way, it was. I can't read Roman numerals.
Somewhere
that's
between
45
and 53.
So the deal is that there were massive expectations before this game. That's part of the problem, right? Peyton Manning's team had scored the most points in the history of the NFL that season.
Right.
They scored 8 in the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks scored 43. So you had this chasm of a score, and you had a team that did not show up offensively that you're hoping for. And so that's why it didn't turn into it.
I remember the Washington Redskins, I mean, the most prolific offense all year. I mean, they were just dominating everyone. Joe Theismann, the Oakland Raiders basically get in as a wild card, and they're just a team that got hot at the right time of the year and absolutely destroyed the Washington Redskins.
The top five of the list of games basically is a hit list of actually very recent ones. The 2014 Super Bowl with the Seahawks and the Patriots is number 3. That's the interception thrown at the very end. The Seahawks should have punched that in with Marshawn Lynch. Number 2 is the Giants 17-14 over the Patriots that year. That was the almost undefeated season for. That was the catch from.
It was dramatic
amazing.
At the end. You know, Eli Manning.
And it was
some
underdog. An underdog. Yeah. You know, dethroning the big one.
And the Patriots were really doing that was a massive historical moment.
Sure.
Only one team's ever gone undefeated, and for them to do that. The thing for me, though, Alex, is I want this to be competitive.
Well, that's it. And the number one, the number one game is the only OT game there's ever been, and that's the it was a comeback, a dramatic comeback. Yeah. It was the Falcons melting down. It was Tom Brady getting the win in 2016.
But you know that game, Alex, people were done at halftime. I mean, they were like, this is a blowout game. You know, the Falcons have this. There's no way. And then everything just started going right for New England. So if you kind of got in your car or you turned off your TV, you really missed an epic game, meltdown by the Atlanta Falcons.
So the storylines from this game, you have 49ers and the Chiefs. What is the recipe for the best version of what the NFL can get on this game? And it's not, for me, it's not just like, it's not saying, well, it's a close game and there's some drama and it goes back and forth. It's not just that for me. I think that historically this game is going to mean more if the Chiefs win and if Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes get this win. And tell me if I'm just saying this as a guy who doesn't like the 49ers and never really has. But does that sound right to you?
It's not a question about whether the NFL, you know, whether you like the 49ers or not. It's really about who can carry the torch for the NFL. And really, if the 49ers win, it's going to be because of their defense. And their defense doesn't really have a star.
Right.
It's the no-name defense kind of version of things. And they're a great defense. I mean, they've played amazing all year.
One of the best, yeah.
But you're not going to win on the shoulders of Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, and he's done a tremendous job. They've had a winning season. A tremendous job in that.
I looked at you weird when you said tremendous job. Because he's thrown 17 passes in the last two games to get to the Super Bowl.
But the job he's done is they're in the Super Bowl. And someone has to be engineering
sure,
that.
Okay.
Look, the quarterback touches the ball a lot in the game, and he can have a huge impact.
Does that mean
in the
Trent
game.
Dilfer won the Super Bowl for the Ravens?
No, but he did. I mean, he made enough plays to get there. So
to keep him in it, too.
But what you're saying is my point exactly, is the NFL wants a star. They need a star. They need to move into this next generation where Tom Brady's not there. You saw, you know, Aaron Rodgers is kind of falling off. All of these guys, Drew Brees, kind of went. They all went by the wayside in these playoffs, and they're fading fast. You know, there's not going to be that many more opportunities. And you've got this amazingly dynamic player in Patrick Mahomes, and he's just incredible. And he's the guy that the NFL can really wrap its arms around. As well as Andy Reid. I mean, if there's probably a coach in the NFL right now who isn't more respected, maybe Pete Carroll, I don't know, but people love Andy Reid.
There's also a story of redemption in there, too, because Kyle Shanahan is the guy who was the offensive mind that was part of the meltdown that the Falcons had. He was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons when they did not run the football back then, did not kind of, you know, everyone questioned at the end. Of course, it was easy to when it was 28-3, and everyone goes, why'd you run that when it was 28-3? It's like, we were up 3.5 touchdowns. Like, come on, of course you're going to just kind of do whatever you want with your offense at that point. But he was criticized for that. He said he beat himself up over it. So there's a redemption story with that. I think it's more interesting, just like you said, if it's a close game, great. But I think really what they want to see is Patrick Mahomes go off. When I say they, I just mean the average. Look, there's hardly any real Chiefs fans out there.
The coronation of the next superstar, no question.
There are hardly any real Chiefs fans out there that aren't like, you know, look, Utah's got 49ers fans. They've got Broncos fans for kind of obvious reasons. We have a handful of Chiefs fans like in the building and maybe around here. And I know there's some people yelling at the radio going, I'm a Chiefs fan. I've been for life. But you're the minority, right? I mean, this is not a team that historically has been fun to cheer for, has been exciting, that you ever thought to yourself, wow, what a fun team that you want to see win. They were typically an arch rival to the Broncos, who a lot of people around here cheer for. And so there's a reason to love this team.
But there's not a better place, not better fans than in Kansas City. And they have been long-suffering. I mean, the 49ers, look, they've won 5 Super Bowls.
Right.
You don't really there's not that compassion. And that's part of, for me, I want to cheer. I don't know if you want to call them the underdog or just the team that you kind of have more compassion for. They've had a lot of years where they've had good football teams and they've just never been able to kind of get over the hump.
You know what I've loved seeing today is all the people that go, the Chiefs are like, finally we're back. I didn't think I'd be alive to see us go back. And then they were like, and then they said, and then like I was watching an online discussion with it, and somebody just wrote on their thing, enter. Browns fan has entered the discussion. Like, where they're like, excuse me, Detroit Lions fan has entered the discussion. Hello. And there is a thing about, it's like we want teams to like stay down and never win, I think, in a way. Like, I don't ever want to see the Browns win.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to ever see them win. The Lions, whatever, you know? Yeah. But there's something about this Chiefs team
you
that you like.
You need to understand about the Lions, though. The Lions, there was a time when the Lions were they were popular. I mean, the Lions winning championships in the 50s was a big deal.
Right.
But now you look at the Lions and you just go, they've lost for so many years. And you're almost to that point with the Chiefs. I don't think it's that way with the Chiefs. It is with the Browns. It could be with the Lions.
The Chiefs have like an exciting – they've got these guys who are absolutely like in your face, in the camera's face. They score a bunch. They have this young gun quarterback. They have a like the old school head coach. It's got the mustache and looks like he looks like Mike Holmgren. I mean, I know he's like a disciple of Mike Holmgren too. And they have
the
like
older
kind of that,
he gets, the more he looks like.
Yes, yeah. It's like the walrus. So he starts to have like this. Any of these guys that have any sort of Lavelle Edwards, coaching tree, anything, look, people start to cheer out.
My
cheer
favorite
for
part of Andy Reid was him kind of waddling up the sideline, holding his red challenge flag, and he just. Kind of holding it, and he's just kind of holding it, and he gets further out, and then he just kind of, and he doesn't even throw it. He just kind of tosses it.
It was like
it
a piece of litter.
Just like, yeah, okay, we'll give this one a shot here, and they won it, so it was a good thing. But so if you're the NFL, you're cheering for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and if you're a fan, I think most people will be as well.
We're going to be watching, certainly. All right, taking the break. We've got more to go here. We've got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Changes to the NFL draft that have already kind of made it like a circus or more like a Cirque du Soleil. So stay with us.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.